Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, be with us now and fill us with your Holy Spirit, who lives in us by the power of baptism. Open our hearts and our ears and our minds to gladly receive you as you come to us in your word, that we may respond with love, faith, and trust in you, and love and service to our fellow brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Man, have I got a deal for you this morning. I've always wanted to say that. Kind of like one of those telemarketers, you know, or those TV people on the QVC, you know, I've got a deal for you. And if you order now, I'll throw in two and waive shipping and handling. I got a deal for you. The restoration of Eden. Perfection. Glory. No more sickness. Good health, peace, joy, eternal forgiveness, and eternal life. The kingdom of heaven, a mansion for you with Jesus forever. But there's one hitch. You're going to have to be perfect. Well, that's what Jesus says in our Old Testament lesson for today. You have to be perfect to get these things. And as I read this lesson, I always think to myself, so what just is God up to in this lesson today? What's he really saying? What's he really saying in our lesson for today? For here God is offering these wonderful gifts. He's offering to you full forgiveness, full salvation, full eternity with him forever. And it is a wonderful thing. And this is truly what we want. It is what we want. We really do at our core really want to be with God forever. However, we're not good at following that. And the reality is, as God says, I give you these things, and he says, now I want you to live perfectly in order to get them. Follow every part of my law, every word to the fullest, and you will have these things for certain. All of a sudden, as I hear that, I don't know about you, but my heart and soul sinks. It sinks to the ground because I realize there's no way in and of myself I can follow God's law at all, let alone perfectly. I mess up the law every day, and then when you hear the gospel lesson for today about lusting and divorce and murder, I mean, it even says if you stay angry at a brother, that's murder. My gosh, my goodness, I mean, I'm in trouble. I just am. I get angry when somebody cuts me off in the car. That doesn't happen too often in Fort Worth, though. But the reality is we can't follow it. And so at face value, I look at this lesson and I say, oh my gosh, what is God doing here? What's he trying to teach me? What is he saying? Because I want this. I desperately want this gift of eternal life, but I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm going to fail. You see, God is showing us something so important here. The reality of what God is showing us is at face value. Here's what you need to choose, but the reality is you can't choose it. Here is the life that you need to uphold so that you get heaven. But the reality is, you can't do it. And the more you try to do it, the more you will fail. The harder you work for my grace, the more you will sin. The reality is, on our own, we have nothing but death and hell. On our own, we can choose nothing but sin, death, and hell. Let's back up for a little bit and talk a little bit about the foundation of Lutheran theology when it comes to making decisions or choices. First of all, you know that we are anti-decision theology. We cannot choose to follow God on our own. In fact, Luther writes that I cannot by my own reason or strength come to Jesus Christ and follow him. But the Holy Spirit calls me through the gospel, enlightens me with his gifts, and sanctifies and keeps me in the one true faith. You know that, right? Everybody knows that? Okay, good. All right, you all passed confirmation. Wonderful. And so that's what he says. So we know that. The other thing we know is that our will, we hear people talk about free will all the time. Well, free will is really hogwash because it doesn't exist. Because the reality is we're enslaved to one of two things in life. We're either enslaved to God and his righteousness or enslaved to Satan and his sin. The reality is that because of our sinfulness, we're all enslaved to sin. But the reality is also that because of God and his redemption in Jesus, we are also enslaved to him. Hence, we have that wonderful paranoid Lutheran thinking that's kind of schizophrenic. We're both sinners and saints at the same time. I always like to say, yes, devil here, God here, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. That's kind of our Christian life. We're stuck in that era of life where we're sinners and saints at the same time until we go to heaven and we're free of that sinful nature and we have perfection. The other reality of life is this. As God's chosen people, holy, dearly loved, baptized into his kingdom, we only have the freedom to make two choices. The choice to be for God or the choice to be against God. The reality is, every time we sin, we're choosing to be against God, to follow Satan. When we choose not to sin, only by the power of the Holy Spirit, I might add, when we choose not to sin, we're choosing to be for God and to follow Jesus. This is the reality of choice in Christianity. There is no other choice beyond that. You cannot choose to follow Jesus on your own. On our own, we can't even choose to do the right thing because we are sinners by our very nature. So the reality is, as we confront this passage in the Old Testament today that says, choose life, be perfect, we will miserably fail. But here's the reality. God was teaching a lesson to his people, a very harsh reality. And then he sends his son into the world to choose us. Yeah, he sends his son into the world to choose us because we are sinful. Wait a minute. God chooses us because we're sinful? You bet he does. Because God could not stand the thought of having an eternity apart from you. God could not stand the thought of losing you as his children. God could not stand the thought of you spending eternity in hell. So in his love and in his grace and his mercy, he sent Jesus Christ into the world to live our life, to live a life of perfection, to give that perfection to us as complete righteousness, to die on the cross, to take away our sins, and to give us complete and utter forgiveness, to rise up from the dead so that we might have eternal life with him in heaven. This is what God does. And then God says, and oh, by the way, you still don't have to choose me because I know you can't do it. So in his wonderful, precious gift, this wonderful grace of God, he sends his Holy Spirit as Jesus ascends into heaven. He sends his Holy Spirit to be our guide, our comforter, and our life giver. And he doles that out, gives that out through word and sacrament, first of all, in our baptism, where he chooses us to be his child forever. And in that choice, we become children of the Heavenly Father, holy, redeemed, loved, and perfect in his eyes, never to be let go, never to fall, and never to be without him for an eternity. That's how powerful it is that God has chosen you and chosen me. God chooses us. Oh, my goodness, as I stop to think about that, that grace is overwhelming. It goes against everything we've been taught. It goes against our sinful nature to think that there's literally nothing I can do, but out of God's free grace and overwhelming, unconditional love for us, he has chosen us and continues to choose us every day. So God gives us life. In choosing us, God has chosen life for us. So in the stark confrontation of the Old Testament today, we realize in our sinfulness, there is nothing we can do to earn salvation. And we realize the very important lesson that God is saying for today. Don't fret. I have come to this world to rescue, to save, and to redeem you so that you will be my child forever. Don't worry about it. When you fail, I will pick you up. When you choose sin, I will, by the power of my Holy Spirit, work guilt in your life, which is a good thing, to cause you to repent and to turn back to me. Because I won't leave you. I will not forsake you. And I will go into the ends of the earth, even death and hell, as I've already done, to redeem and rescue you so that you will be certain of the salvation that I have brought into the world through Jesus for you. I choose life for you. Now, because God has chosen us, because God has chosen life for me and for you, we are free to go out into this world and to live in joy and peace, to rejoice in God and to serve others. The reality is, as long as we continue to follow the false notion of our sinfulness, that we have to choose God, or that we have to choose life, or that we have to earn God's pleasure in some way, we will live in a life of shame. And shame is from Satan. That shame will pull us down, and we cannot glorify God from a place place of shame, we can only glorify ourselves because the focus is on us. But when we live in the joy that God has chosen us, that God chooses life and gives it to us, shame has no more place for us, only joy and rejoicing even in the midst of hardship, trial, and tribulation, because salvation is already ours. And when we stand up in that salvation, when we choose to live in that salvation, when we rejoice in that salvation, nothing in this world can stop us from moving with the gospel of God, both in our lives and for those around us. For it's in that stance, it's in that gospel, it's in that love and that forgiveness and in that life that we can truly be the hands and mouth and feet of Jesus around us today. And it's truly when we are able to set aside our wrongs, our grudges, our hurts, our shame, our negative self-talk, you know, those negative voices that like to beat us up, and step into the gift that is already yours, full and free redemption and salvation in Jesus Christ, because he has chosen you and therefore has given you the choice of life eternal. You are free from the burden of sin to rejoice in victory over sin, death, and the devil now and always. In Jesus' name, amen.